Shmuel Aleph, Perek Gimel, Pasuk Aleph. Pasuk says, V'hanar Shmuel Mishari says Hashem. With Ne'eli, we've seen this already a couple times, this way of describing Shmuel. He was a nar, so he was still young. Mishari says Hashem, serving Hashem. With Ne'eli, as he was constantly watching and learning from him. Udvar Hashem, Haya Yakar B'yamim Haheim. In the words of Hashem, was Yakar in those days. Yakar is translated, as the Siddur says, Chashuv, very important and special. Ein Chazon Nifratz. Ein Chazon Nifratz, says the Siddur Sion, Ein Chazon is the vision of the Nevuah. Nifratz Moshin parts out. That was not something which is widespread, which apparently means that there were not a lot of people who were Nevi'im during those days, very few.
There's 2 points here. First of all, if we look for a duality in language, a kefal lashon. We just said that the Kohen Gadol went with Nei HaMelech,
you know, right,
to lead him, as leading him and showing to show him the way. That he came to him to show him the way. And here's Shmuel Misharet Hashem Lufnei Eli.
Right.
It's almost as if Shmuel has to be the one that he's the lower rank. He's the one that comes to Eli,
right,
but he's the one that's showing him the way. The second question is here, that when it says,
why is that a question? It shows why is Eli greater?
No. I mean, that's one point.
Right.
That's
okay.
The second point is
that
when we talk about Ein Chazon Nifratz, they don't say Ein Nevuah Nifratz, but Ein Chazon Nifratz. Now, we know that the word Chazon means a certain type of Nevuah, which generally is a negative type of Nevuah. And I'm wondering why they have it that way.
I'm not sure. That I don't know.
Chazon is the prophecy of doom.
All prophecies were there. There were no. The whole thing is prophecy. Anything, any prophet who was a prophet for good was a fake prophet. The Nach itself says whenever they say
there was probably not bad things going to happen unless you
don't
do something.
Believe somebody who comes out with nebuas that for good, because when it was for good, they're not nebuas. Is a Novi Shaykh?
No, I mean Yeshayahu is full of things that we have in the Shiva Shal Nechamada, we have
you have to suffer first.
After all the
but a prophecy can be good. It doesn't mean that the Shia certainly know what he's saying with the fourth prophet.
He's saying we're going to have all this bad stuff, and eventually, what's going to happen?
Chazon also.
Sancino is very interesting.
He's on it. When he said it was very figurative, and that's when it becomes a very visual, very, very visual prophecy. That's when usually Chazon comes into play.
Something which is more visible?
It's a visual thing. He saw what he saw. He saw cauldron opening from the west, and he saw that these things. I mean, he said the very visual, it's almost like they are Hayat or something.
A stronger type of Nevuah? It's like a stronger type of Nevuah?
I don't know if it's a stronger brand of Nevuah, but it's a very visual, it's a very figurative Nevuah.
Okay.
The Sancino is interesting.
But still, in all, there's a meaning to this. Like if you have, if you take certain words in Nevuah, we say Vayehi, Vayvenehi, Vayehi means the story is going to follow us about something bad. And we say v'hayat, it usually means something that's good is going to fall. Chazon is one of the words that's used when you're talking about something negative is going to fall. And it doesn't necessarily mean that the prophecy has to be only negative.
Well, the problem
is here it is.
When the Novi comes to the people, to tell them a Nevuah,
would it be able to say
negative?
Good?
It's a negative.
Because the people weren't doing something good.
Well, it usually came to them to warn
them.
That
was the only time. Right, that's right. That was his job.
You know, correct somebody who's doing the right thing.
Novi never came to anybody with good news.
It says over here, the Hanar Shmuel Mishares, and what Bisansinos is very interesting. According to Josephus, when they use that word, preserves a Jewish tradition to the effect that Samuel had just completed his 12th year. Because he's ministering to God, and he has to be at a certain point. Mm-hmm. So this Shmuel, he's dating Shmuel's age at this point, that Shmuel right now is 12 years old.
He was serving for 12 years?
No, Shmuel and when the word of God came to him, in other words, he had reached his religious majority.
No, if he completed his 12th year, it means he's 13.
That's good. And I'm saying that just what they're saying. At this point, Shmuel has reached a certain point in his life.
Yeah, and it translates not prophecy, but vision.
That's how they translate over here also, is vision.
Vision was
also it calls him Hanar Shmuel.
Because it's just
nar,
before
sometimes is used just loosely to mean a young man, and sometimes the nar thing is technically a certain age, very specific.
Well, I'm saying he's just before he's reached bar mitzvah.
So this pasuk is again alluding to the fact that there was not a lot of prophecy that was occurring, which is actually what very clearly Yakar, the Radak says Shulhoyu Nevi'im Bisrael, there were not many Nevi'im. So Yakar on one hand means, as Mesudasian translates, as Chashuv, but yet on the other hand it can also mean it's something which is translated here as scarce, something which is not very.
It might not be a bad sign that there was nobody rebuking the people at this point.
Could be. It could be there was no one rebuking. There was no one that...
O'Connor at that point would be...
He could have been.
He was,
but Ailey had the opportunity. Right, so...
could also interpret that saying, Chazon Nefrat, if we say Chazon is necessarily rebuke, means that maybe there was nobody really disciplining people, so people maybe weren't behaving.
It doesn't say people were doing anything bad. There's no signs that other people were doing anything bad.
I mean, certainly, Chafron and Pentecost.
Now we know.
Okay. So, Pasuk Bet. Vayhi b'yomahu was on that day. V'eli shoychev b'mkomo. Eli went to sleep. V'einav hechelu kehos l'yuchal liros. It says that his eyes became darkened, dimmed, he was not able to see. that's possible. So the question that the Mefarshim deal with is, all these Pesukim are going to be talking about the very first Nevuah that's going to be given over to Shmuel, which we're going to see. So much so, he'll be so shocked, he doesn't even believe it at first. He thinks it's Eli. The question is, why are we throwing in this as like some sort of a sidebar, which seemingly has no relevance whatsoever, talking about that he doesn't have such great eyesight. Eli doesn't have great eyesight. So what? What does that have to do with the Nevuah that he's about to see?
Because of the content of the Nevuah.
What's that?
He's in for big trouble then. This is a heavy thing this kid is supposed to do.
Right.
He's got to convey to Eli
that you finished.
That you're done.
You're finished.
Right.
And why? Because he didn't see it himself coming. This is against the
allegory. Right, exactly.
Also, the word Roes sometimes is used interchangeably or allegorically as a Navi.
What's that?
A Roes. Somebody who was a seer.
No, he didn't see what was coming. He didn't see what his house did, what his kids did.
He didn't see what his kids were doing. He definitely isn't going to see what's going to happen to himself.
The heavy part of all this is you got this kid that's got to go tell him.
The kid that he brought into this world.
What did you hear yesterday?
Right. We'll get to that next week, yeah, God willing. Yeah. So we look at the Radak over here, four lines on the bottom. It says, "V'tam hatzibor hazeh." The reason why we throw this seemingly unimportant detail about his eyesight is B'makom says, "Al derech pshuto." Just reading the simple psukim, you really can't find any logical reason why it's inserted over here in Pasuk Bet. Therefore, v'imhu derech mashal v'ratzalomer eni halev klomer ruach hakodesh. It doesn't mean literally his eyesight started going bad. It means his chazon. That's maybe the reason of the word chazon, of his vision, of having ruach hakodesh, of prophecy. The reason why he departed from him, Kibbutchila, and it was not as it was in the good old days by Elim, Masav Banu, because of the way his children behaved and the way that he didn't rebuke them appropriately. Lafikach ba'a hanavua hazos el Shmuel v'lo'abolav, and that's the reason why it was given over to Shmuel. And cited furthermore, the Radak brings down the Medrash Shmuel that says, Omer Kehus Mamish, that means that his eyes literally became dim. The Omer Kol Hamamid Ben Rasha Einav Kehus, a person who has a child who acts wicked, his eyes become dimmed. Menalon Meyitzchak Vechin Eli. We find this from the story of Yitzchak that Yaakov and Esav, specifically Esav, that he was a Rasha, so therefore Yitzchak, his eyes became dimmed, and therefore also the same thing happened to Eli. So the question is, what, that's some type of a punishment? The answer is, it may be, doesn't physically mean necessarily your eyes go bad, it means that you blinded yourself from their actions.
You didn't see what was going on.
Right, so therefore you didn't use your eyes properly, so you weren't really ever seeing clearly. Because if you ever saw your child clearly, you would have rebuked them initially. And therefore, always Yitzchak's eyes as well as his eyes.
Way back at the beginning of the book, if he thinks Chana is drunk, he's not seeing things that clearly
right.
either.
Exactly.
It's not a new thing to him.
That's right. Right. He always
misjudged.
Had a, he always misjudged.
Have a blurry vision of things.
That's right. Very good. Okay. So that's the reason, as he brings down over here, the significance of his of the eye. All right, let's move on to the next pasuk. Pasuk Gimel. V'ner Elokim, relatively famous expression. V'ner Elokim terem yichbet, that the candle, before it's extinguished by God, Shmuel shochev, Shmuel was sleeping. V'heichal Hashem asher sham aron Elokim. By the Heichal Hashem, which Mesudas David says, where exactly is the Heichal Hashem, the sanctuary of Hashem? Mesudas David translates it as Zekodesh HaKadoshim, where the Aron Elokim was. The Aron was in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, which is a pretty strange place for Shmuel to
go
to sleep.
Odd place to put your cot.
Could he right. leave? Wouldn't you? If somebody's not a Kohen Gadol, go there? Wouldn't
can't
you go?
Go there.
Yeah, you would die.
Right, that's a question also. He wasn't doing the avodah.
The
he wasn't the Kohen Gadol.
The Kohen was there, they put a rope around him.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You can't go in there at all.
Certainly is.
Well, this is a little kid who just, okay.
Well, that's
a question.
Absolutely. So some of Farshim explain, when it says Shmuel Shochev, it doesn't say, like for example, when it says by Eli that Shochev Bimkomo, that he went to his place. By Shmuel, he was such a Eben Hashem that he worked and worked and worked and just passed out. Wherever he fell asleep. And therefore, you couldn't hold him accountable. It happened to be, it was Behechel Hashem.
Why would he have been there in any case?
That's not so clear. According to the way the Mesudas David translates, it's hard to understand. But that's what the Pasuk says. Asher Shem Aron Elokim. The Aaron was in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, so that's why Mesudas David says it's the Kodesh HaKadoshim. What was he doing there? It's not very clear, but nonetheless, that's what the Pasuk says. And it doesn't seem that he's doing anything wrong. Also, the question is, some explain it doesn't mean literally that he was Behechel Hashem, that he fell asleep in front of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and then that even when he was sleeping, he was such a holy guy, such a tyrannic yid, that even when he slept, it was though the Aron Hashem was in front of him, as though he was in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Different ways to explain it, but certainly on the surface, it's difficult to understand. So, that's the first point. The Radak then continues. The Radak, which is on page 26, explains what does this possibly mean, Venero Kim Term Yechbet. What does this mean? The lamp of God had not yet gone out. So what does that mean, B'nei Rokim Terem Yechbeh? So the Radak, the very top, gives, first of all, the simple basic explanation. Im al neros ha-menorah, if it's referring to the neros, which were found in the menorah in the Kodesh, ha-yezekodim alos ha-shachar, means it was before morning. Ki neros ha-adokim erbat boker, because they would be lit from the evening until the morning. So therefore, it means that it was nighttime. It's all the pasuk has come to tell us. And Elohim, that the menorah did not yet extinguish. So it was something, with this whole episode was occurring in the middle of the night at some point. If we jump down a few lines, 7-8 lines in the Radak, he quotes the Medrash Reishis Rabba, which is probably the more famous interpretation of this pasuk. Ki al ner hanevuah amar. What it's talking about when the pasuk says v'ner Elokim terem yichveh, it's not talking about the menorah and some lights getting extinguished. It's referring to the nevuah. The Omar, and quoting the pasuk in the beginning of Koheles, Ecclesiastes, that says v'zarach hashemesh v'ah hashemesh, that the sun rises and the sun sets. What is the symbolism of that? So it means ad shol yashki hakadosh baruch hashem shol tzadik echad hu mazriach shem shol tzadik acher. Hashem will not literally put the light out and cause to expire and to pass and the sun to set upon one tzaddik for him to be taken from this world until another tzaddik replaces him. Ad shol yashkia shamsha shol Moshe, zir shamsha shol Yeshua. Moshe didn't just die, but rather Moshe had a replacement. How important it is to have someone as a exactly. Actually, Tashkia Shamsha Shal Eli Zriach Shamsha Shal Shmuel, Zeshem Elokim Terem Yechbe, which also is the connection to the previous pasuk. The pasuk said that his light was dim, so he was losing his nevuah, or he lost his nevuah, and now we're introduced to Shmuel getting his nevuah. So that Hashem doesn't take away nevuah entirely from our nation, or the tzaddik from our nation, unless he replaces us with someone of equal stature. So that's the bracha of this pasuk of v'ner Elohim terem yichbeh. And we'll see next week that Hashem calls to him and calls to him. He does not acknowledge. Eventually he does. And we're going to see the unbelievable first nevuah, as we know it will be, the downfall of Eli, and how he somehow has to share this information with Eli.